This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the sunny side of sports. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 183 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. Ahead of the games, Dan Friedel caught up with an athlete who is hoping to represent Ghana at his second Olympics. Here's Dan.
We're here on the sunny side of sports in Arlington, Virginia, with Alex Amankwa, a member of the Ghanaian Olympic team at the 2016 Olympics. Welcome to the sunny side of sports, Alex.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
So, I ran into Alex at a gym here in Virginia and found out that he was an expert runner with impeccable credentials while he was teaching a gym class that I attended. I thought it would be interesting to hear from Alex a little bit about what his experience is training with his eye on making the Olympic team. So, Alex, how are you doing on progressing to your goals of making it to the Olympics in Japan?
Progression is going really good. I think each year I've progressed, and I'm motivated more than ever to get there. I don't know if most people don't know, I actually fractured my fibula in the last Olympics, and it was devastating because, you know, I always dreamed about going to the Olympics, and I'm out for some revenge. I want to redeem myself, and I'm doing everything I need to do to get there, focusing on the small stuff, and ultimately working really hard to be in the best shape as I can.
So, Alex, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your experience in Brazil? You said you had a fracture, but you still ran in your heat. What was that like for you physically, mentally? How was the experience?
Well, honestly, when I found that it was fractured about 2 months prior to the game starting, and in my mind, I was like, you know, I don't want to go because what's the point of going to Olympics if I can't compete at my best? And I was telling my coaches, I was telling my family and friends, and everybody was like was slapping me like, no, you have to go no matter what. Go, 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 go. It's an experience of a lifetime, regardless of how you do. Being an Olympian, nobody can take that away from you. I ended up going, and it was just a lot mentally, just to know that, like, I'm going to be out there running and it's not going to be my best, and that really ate at me for a long time. But once I got there, once I ran it, running, the physical part was really painful because the bone was still cracked while I was running in it. But just being around other athletes, I remember seeing my childhood, like, idol, his name is David Rudisha, and he was an amazing runner. I saw him running, I was like, this is crazy, like, I'm actually here, like, you know, I can do this, you know. And leaving the Olympics the year after that, like, I ran the best of my life because I felt and I believe that I was as good as these guys, and it just took, you know, just got to continue working and keep getting better, and the sky's the limit for me.
So, Alex, when you see athletes in their first ever Olympics, even as teenagers, do something like win a gold medal, here in the Washington, D.C. area, a lot of people know Katie Ledecky, who won a gold medal at the London Olympics in swimming, pretty unknown swimmer at that point, just a 15-year-old. What does that make you think about when people can put a great performance out there at their first Olympics?
It definitely calms me down a little bit because it makes me think, man, you know, these guys are able to do it, you know, why not me? And I've always been the type of person where I felt like there is no reason why I can't achieve whatever I want to achieve. I think I have the work ethic for it. I think I have the potential, the physical gifts that God has given me. The support, especially now with Under Armour, like and District Track Club. So definitely when I see stuff like that, it motivates me, like, you know, why can't I do that? So, yeah.
So having been at the Olympics one time before, obviously you need to reach a certain time standard to qualify for the Olympics here in 2020. How much more comfortable are you having already been through it once?
A lot more comfortable. The first time it was a shock, it was a surprise, and now I think this year it's I don't see myself having a problem hitting that standard at all, and I think I'm going to run much faster than that standard, especially how the season is progressing. We still have a long way to go with training and developing mentally and physically, but I have no doubt that I will be in the 2020 Olympics.
We're here on the sunny side of sports, joined by Alex Amankwa, a Ghanaian middle distance runner, participated in the 2016 Olympics, and he's looking ahead to hopefully qualifying for the Tokyo Games. What's the timeline like for getting to that point? When do you have to hit your time standard, and how do you feel now?
If I'm not mistaken, I think I have till July, the first week of July or end of June, to hit the standard. But we the way our schedule is set up, we have a few races in April and May that we're really going to try to hit hard to hit that standard. I see myself qualifying and having the standard by sometime middle of April, which will be outdoor season, and we'll be ready to roll.
What's the time standard you're aiming to get underneath?
The standard I'm trying to hit under is 145.2. My personal best is 144.8, so I've ran that time already. It's just a matter of going and running it again, getting in the right race, right rhythm, and putting myself in the best position to, you know, just to hit that standard. But, you know, the Olympic standard is not my only goal. I want to run much faster than that, and that's what we're training for.
That's Ghanaian athlete Alex Amankwa, who is training for the Tokyo Olympics. And Alex was talking with Dan Friedel in Arlington, Virginia. And we'll hear more from Alex and Dan in the days to come, right here on the sunny side of sports. Elsewhere in African athletics, Ethiopia looks ready to dominate Friday's Dubai Marathon in the United Arab Emirates. Ethiopian record holder Werknesh Degefa is targeting a second victory in Dubai and starts as the women's favorite. 3 years ago, Werknesh won in her marathon debut, clocking 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 36 seconds in the UAE. And last year, Werknesh finished second in Dubai in 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 41 seconds, taking 15 seconds off the Ethiopian record. The women's winner in Dubai last year, reigning world marathon champion Ruth Chepngetich of Kenya, is not running Dubai on Friday. On the men's side in Dubai, the Ethiopian Solomon Dexisa and Seifu Tura have the fastest personal best times in the field, with both runners having gone under 2 hours and 5 minutes. I mentioned Werknesh Degefa. The 29-year-old Ethiopian is also confirmed for the Boston Marathon on April 20th, when she'll be defending her women's title. Last year, Werknesh won Boston in 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 31 seconds. In announcing the elite international fields, Boston Marathon organizers said Werknesh will face four other past winners of the race: Ethiopian countrywoman Buzanesh Deba, two-time world champion Edna Kiplagat of Kenya, and another Kenyan, Carolyn Rotich, as well as the 2018 champion Desiree Linden of the United States. On the men's side in Boston, defending champion Lawrence Chirono of Kenya will run against three other past Boston champions: Jeffrey Karui of Kenya, Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia, and Yuki Kawauchi of Japan.
Nick Kyrgios has always been a polarizing factor, but across the Australian summer of tennis, he's developed a massive following, and the fans watching him play are almost playing every point and every shot with him.
Sorry about that, VOA listeners. Let's bring it back. We're going to bring it back now. Here's Craig Gabriel on day four of the Australian Open. Give us some Craig Gabriel.
Nick Kyrgios has always been a polarizing factor, but across the Australian summer of tennis, he's developed a massive following, and the fans watching him play are almost playing every point and every shot with him. The atmosphere around his matches have been brilliant, and he's kept his calm on court. So much of all this new appreciation stems from his efforts to generate the appeals for the bushfire funds. Nick has always been kind and considerate to the disadvantaged, and now the public can see this other side of him. He defeated Gilles Simon to reach the third round, 6-2, 6-4, 4-6, 7-5, and said he was happy it didn't go longer.
I was pretty happy. I knew that if it went five sets, it would have been very tough physically, especially going up against a guy like that, with the conditions being very slow. But I thought I lifted in the fourth. You know, I just put my head down, and you know, I lost my way a little bit in the third set. You know, I got the break at 5-all, and yeah, it was a good feeling to get through that.
Simona Halep made short work of British qualifier Harriet Dart and Rafa Nadal at account of her fellow lefty Federico Delbonis, 6-3, 7-6, 6-1. It was put to Nadal that Kyrgios was impersonating his serve during Kyrgios's match and was asked if he was offended. Nadal really didn't care. These two could meet in the 16s, and Nadal said there are some parts of his own game that need adjusting.
I am confident that I'm going to play better because every day in the third set, I have been able to show a good level of tennis. I need to do it before the next time.
Belinda Bencic and Angie Kerber advanced. Stan Wawrinka needed five sets, and there have been a lot of five-setters. Karen Khachanov was another, and he plays Kyrgios next. Alexander Zverev was untroubled, and he confirmed the pledge he made for the bushfire appeal of $10,000 for every match he wins, or if he wins the title, his entire check of over $4.1 million. Dominic Thiem and Daniil Medvedev also advanced to the third round. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Andre DeGrasse, three-time Olympic sprint medalist, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a preview of Super Bowl 54, the National Football League's championship game on February 2nd in Miami, Florida.
Ultimately, at the end of the year, only one team's going to be happy.
Will it be the San Francisco 49ers or the Kansas City Chiefs who will emerge happy after Super Bowl 54? Kansas City earned its first trip to the National Football League title game in 50 years with a 35-24 victory over the Tennessee Titans in the American Conference Championship game. Young Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes went down the sideline for a game-turning touchdown and added three touchdown passes.
From day one, I've been accepted to go out there and be who I am. And my teammates, they've responded by being great every single day. And so for me, I've been put in a great situation, and I just try to maximize it every single day.
Kansas City head coach Andy Reid was impressed with his team's reaction to falling behind by 10 points early in the game.
Yeah, big hearts. So they work hard. Never give up. They're going to give you four quarters of honest football every snap. And I appreciate that. They don't care about the score. They just bring it. And that's paid off for us the last couple weeks.
Running back Derrick Henry, who led Tennessee to a pair of playoff upsets against the New England Patriots and Baltimore Ravens, was shut down by Kansas City. That forced Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball more, which was not the game plan.
Honestly, I'm kind of in shock a little bit. You know, just you don't prepare yourself for this outcome. You know, everything in your preparation in your mind is we're going to win this game. You know, you don't really even think of the other side. So when it hits hard.
Tennessee was beginning to believe it could reach the Super Bowl. And Tannehill said the loss hit hard.
It hurts. You feel the pain across the locker room. You know, think how far we've come, and then to really come up short from what our end goal was. It hurts. It's sudden. It hurts. It's going to take a while to get over.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel was also disappointed, but has this playoff run to build on next season.
Told him it was an honor to coach him. Felt like we left that locker room before the game as a family. Stay a family when we leave it after the game. Appreciate their efforts. There was a lot of guys that were, you know, battling through, beat up, banged up, and I felt like they fought.
While Kansas City waited a half century for a Super Bowl appearance, San Francisco last played in the big game 7 years ago. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo led the 49ers past the visiting Green Bay Packers 37-20 in the National Conference Championship game.
It's been crazy. It's been a crazy whirlwind of a ride. And, you know, it's no one else I'd rather be in a dogfight with than those guys in that locker room. It's a great group to be with. Everyone's pulling together. Everyone's you know, tight with one another. And it's just a great group, man. It really is.
San Francisco head coach Kyle Shanahan held back his celebration until the final whistle blew.
I am never comfortable in games until it's officially over. And once it was officially over, I got bombarded by everyone. I'm sure I'll feel those injuries tomorrow. But it was really awesome. I had my family down there and wife, kids, and it was just so cool. I know how happy our players were, how much they wanted this, and I was just so proud of how they played and how hard they fought.
Veteran Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers was not happy to let a Super Bowl opportunity slip away.
It definitely hurts, I'd say, a little more than early in the career, just because you realize just how difficult it is to get to this spot. And with all the changes this offseason, with all the installation of a new system and a new program, to get to this point, you felt like it was something special because it, you know, it just didn't really make sense.
Rodgers and his team put together a 14-4 record this season.
You know, we weren't picked by most people to win our division, and we found a way to not only do that, but win a home playoff game and get to this spot. Just kind of felt like it was meant to be almost. So that was a little disappointing, a little more disappointing. Then you realize, you know, I don't have the same number of years ahead of me as I do behind me. So it's slightly more disappointing.
Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur knew where his team fell short.
They played well today, and we didn't play well enough. I told our guys that going into these types of games, we know that the ball was going to be a big part of whoever was going to win this game. And, you know, we didn't win the turnover margin. And then the other thing that we knew they were going to try to do was run the football. And they absolutely got after us in the run game, and it was not good enough.
He shares the emotions of his tight-knit group.
These guys are a bunch of fighters, and you don't always get that. When you're down 27-0 and these guys kept battling, you know, I just can't tell you how much that means to myself, to our staff. These guys care about one another. That's why it hurts so bad.
The 49ers are the third team to reach the Super Bowl a year after winning four or fewer games, just like Cincinnati in 1988 and the Rams in 1999. Although they don't take the field for 2 weeks, 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo knows Super Bowl prep begins immediately.
And this first week is where you really got to take advantage of it, because once you get, you know, down there to Miami in this case, it's a crazy week down there. So you got to take advantage of this first week and get ahead of the other team.
Super Bowl 54 kicks off February 2nd in Miami.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast, which you can hear via voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association's top pick in the league's 2019 draft has made his long-awaited debut for the New Orleans Pelicans in the southern U.S. city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Zion Williamson scored 22 points and grabbed 7 rebounds in only 18 minutes on the court Wednesday night, but it was not enough, as the Pelicans lost to the visiting San Antonio Spurs 121-117. The 19-year-old Williamson had knee surgery in October 2019, delaying his debut in the NBA. So we wish him a healthy rest of the season, Zion Williamson. In other action Wednesday night, the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors beat the visiting Philadelphia 76ers by 12 points, as we hear now from the AP's John Lethierby in Toronto, Canada.
Toronto's 107-95 win at Scotiabank Arena saw 6 Raptors hit double figures in points, including 4 of their 5 starters. This was a back-and-forth affair until the end of the third quarter, when the host finished the period on a 13-4 run. Fred VanVleet, who had back-to-back threes to spark the win, was the team's high scorer with 22 points.
If I remember correctly, I shook free for a kick-out three, a pull-up three, and then maybe one coming off an inbounds play. So just playing within the game, playing within the team, and obviously being assertive and being aggressive.
Norman Powell and Pascal Siakam added 18 apiece. Tobias Harris had 22 points for Philadelphia. Ben Simmons fell shy of a triple-double. 17 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. Cameroonian star Pascal Siakam also grabbed 15 rebounds in addition to those 18 points that John mentioned. In New York City, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers beat the New York Knicks Wednesday night 100-92. LeBron scored 19 of his 21 points in the first half to quickly cut into Kobe Bryant's shrinking lead over him for the number 3 all-time scoring spot in NBA history. LeBron now has 33,599 career points, 44 behind Kobe, who also starred for the Lakers. In Texas, the host Houston Rockets snapped a 4-game losing streak with a 121-105 victory over the Denver Nuggets. Russell Westbrook came very close to another triple-double for the Rockets. Westbrook tallied 28 points, 16 rebounds, and 8 assists, and James Harden added 27 points for the Rockets. And that wraps up the January 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zainab Abdurrahman. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Rock and roll, America's finest export. Our culture and music of today are permanently indebted to the pioneers who trailblazed this musical tradition. Listen to Border Crossings on February 6th to hear rock's greatest musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Buddy Holly, and Elvis Presley, only on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists from Australia's Curtin University have precisely dated Earth's oldest asteroid impact crater and found evidence that the asteroid strike that formed it may have ended a global ice age. Researchers say that the 70-kilometer-wide Yarrabubba crater, located in the outback of Western Australia, was formed after an asteroid slammed into Earth 2.229 billion years ago. At that time, the entire planet was covered in glacial ice, which is known as a snowball Earth. The researchers say they think the impact of the asteroid vaporized a large amount of the glacial ice, sending half a trillion tons of water vapor into the atmosphere. Since water vapor is considered a significant greenhouse gas and a driver of climate change, it's thought that this volume of the atmospheric vapor caused a period of global warming, which thawed much of Snowball Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, sub-Saharan African nations continue to struggle with their anti-corruption efforts. Corruption on the continent, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.